You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everyone to RB1 Colon the Fantasy Football Podcast, part of Fake Teams Podcast Channel. It has been a while since we have seen each other, since we've all been a part of this glorious show, and since you've heard our voice. I am, of course, your humble host, the conductor of the Devin Funchess hype train, worshiper of N'Keal Harry Pete Rogers, and I am joined by some of the guys. We have an effortless move in a la Chris Collinsworth by Clark Barnes here, just slipping in the frame at the last possible second.
I've been working on that so hard. I'm glad you...
smooth move. Yeah. Of course, that is DK Metcalf's number one admirer, doubter of Juju Smith-Schuster, proponent for Jon Snow hair product line, and resident old man Clark Barnes. And we are also joined by the biggest 49ers fan you know, somehow managed to wait 2 weeks to see Game of Thrones without spoiling it, the only man on this green earth who hates Larry Fitzgerald, the Ginger Woodsman, Nick Botiford. It has been... I don't know if this has just been a particularly crazy summer or just summers in the past for this podcast have been much easier, but man, summers are fucking crazy. So we're coming at you. This is normally we do Wednesday shows. Now it's a Thursday show and we got all kind of hodgepodge of things going on, but whoo, deep breath. How are you guys? How's your summers been?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh man, I am exhausted. It's been a jam-packed summer for us, and it's only going to get more jam-packed. And I'm just looking forward to we move officially to Ann Arbor, Michigan, in beginning middle of August. And at that point, we finally have nothing else on our schedule, and we can take a deep breath and finally get acclimated. But up until then, man, it is just going. So, you know, little this, little that. My brother got married. That was earlier. We then went to Becca's sister who graduated naturopathy school. And then we've got family gatherings. We got the whole nine yards.
Right on, man. Clark, how are you?
Good. I just got back from your neck of the woods. I went to Bow, Washington to visit the girlfriend who's up there for the summer and got engaged. So it's been a busy
one. What?
Yep.
Oh my God. Clark Barnes, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bastard. You're saying this all casually.
So casually. For oh my God. Well, screw whatever we're talking about on the podcast. Story time. How did this happen? How long have you been planning this? Oh my God, Clark, I'm so excited.
Why didn't you tell us publicly on the podcast that you were doing this?
Yeah.
What? That would have been really safe, actually. I know Katie does not listen to the pod. I've gotten her to download it, which I appreciate it. But she gets to listen to me talk enough. I don't know. No real big story. Just, you know, it's been a couple of years and I love her. And, so, make this official.
Oh, my God.
She loves you, too.
Yeah, she said yes. So that's refreshing.
That is, you know, always nice to hear those things. Well, I don't mean to quickly move on, Clark.
No, that's please do. Oh, well, I mean, had to tell this story like a dozen times in the past 2 days, so I'm ready to like, yep, I did it, and let's go.
Okay. Well, I'm not. I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of the week. Nick, on the other hand, has a future engagement that he needs to get to, so we got to make sure that we're not keeping him away from work functions since, you know, he's got to work his way up in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nick, by the way, I hope you're okay with taking the responsibility of making the millions in order to, like, you know, turn this podcast into like a TV show. So you're going to have to buy some sort of TV channel and just broadcast us 24/7 on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I just wanted to confirm, just, you know, you take your time. Don't worry about it, but just so you know that's what's going to be in your future.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. All right, well, obviously, as we're in the middle of the summer, nothing really football-esque happens. It's pretty boring. Normally, we do some sort of news, but I don't really want to see what's going on in the NFL. But what we will talk about today is we're going to talk about the most intriguing players in fantasy this year. And this is people who, for me personally, I'll say, when I was making my list, these are guys who I think could really change the fantasy landscape depending on how they perform and kind of what their seasons are looking like. Now, initially, it was just going to be Nick and I, so I was doing the sexy headline of the six most intriguing players in fantasy this year. I don't know how many Clark are bringing to the table, but we at least have seven intriguing fantasy players for you this year who you should be keeping eyes on in your drafts and all of that jazz.
Yeah, I don't want to peel back the onion too far, but Pete, I can do as many as you want as long as you give me like 2 minutes in between each person.
Just ignore whatever I'm saying when I'm talking about a player and use that as your 2 minutes. Just mute me and use that as your 2 minutes to figure out who you're going to talk about next.
Yeah, I'm in midseason form, so I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Well, then we will bring you the nine most intriguing players, because that is what 3 times 3 is in fantasy this year. And we'll start off with you, Nicholas, since you put in the effort to plan ahead of time. Nick, who is one of the most intriguing players for you this year in fantasy?
Well, I talked about him previously, but I'm really falling hard for David Montgomery. I think that he's walking into an incredible situation where he really doesn't have to compete to be the bell cow running back. And I know that Chicago has been using a split backfield with Howard and Tariq Cohen, but I really think that they're only doing that out of necessity because Howard couldn't catch the ball and Cohen can't be a full dimensional player. He's just too small. And that isn't me trying to knock, a lot of folks like to say, well, grit will get you anywhere. If you're like 160 pounds or whatever he is, it just doesn't work. This guy can walk into an offense, albeit bizarre, but a functional offense. It's a little wonky with Mitchell Trubisky, but David Montgomery has a chance to be a 20 touch per game player. And study after study shows the running backs who just get a ton of volume are the single biggest difference makers on fantasy rosters. And so if you can get him, where is he? Let me just find him real quick. He is,
I have him going RB22, but beginning of the fourth round.
So yeah, and I'm seeing on Fantasy Pros overall, he is the RB25. Like I think that really he's a good player. He's not as athletic as I'd like him, but he does hit the thresholds. I think that you can get a guy who will be a top 15 running back as the 25th running back, and that's just phenomenal value.
Yeah. I like him. I like him a lot. We've talked about him on these airwaves before, and I think he is someone who's going into a situation that could be very running back friendly. And like you said, Nick, they kind of are throwing out this notion of a running back committee, but I think if he shows that he can handle the load, I don't think Tariq Cohen's really going to challenge him that much, and he's going to be able to kind of get a lot of touches and get a lot of points for you.
Yeah, I think this is a good player to the type of player that you want to fall in love with. I think Tariq Cohen probably had the best year of his career last year, and he may do that for another 5 or 6 years, but he is just too small to do much more. But if you have an explosive offense with a potentially explosive player getting a huge part of the workload, I think that's the kind of guy you want to take a shot on, after you kind of get your starters, because most of the time you have to draft 10, 15 people. So why not take a shot on a backfield that's essentially up for grabs?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Sticking with running back position, for me, one of the most intriguing players in fantasy this year, one of the nine, because we've limited it down to just these nine. It might be a kind of a cop-out answer, but I feel like Todd Gurley, we have to talk about Todd Gurley if we're talking about intriguing players this fantasy season, because if not for the postseason / Super Bowl / kind of, all the rumors that came around his knee, he would be the number one running back in fantasy football. He scored 21 total touchdowns last year. He rushed for 1,251 yards and caught, 59 balls for 580 yards. Like, He was the best running back in fantasy last year in just production and stat-wise, and he's still currently going RB, what, let's see, RB 11, beginning of the second round, which is still, you know, beginning of the second round is still a price to pay for him, but like, he, if his knee really isn't that bad, or if all these kind of like flirtations with the timeshare and kind of all these things that Sean McVay and the Rams are putting out about how they're going to manage his time, blah, 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 blah. If that stuff doesn't prove to be true and Todd Gurley is the Todd Gurley that we've seen in the past, and this knee is really just kind of a hiccup, I mean, you're now getting the best running back in football, in fantasy football, as the 11th back off the board or in the second round. Could be even your RB2. I think he is someone who has the potential to make and break a lot of drafts. Because if you take him, if you try to pay for him and he doesn't pan out, he really is kind of a shell of himself. You know, you wasted a pick there to a certain extent. And if he pans out to be what we've seen him to be in the last 2 years, now suddenly you've got yourself, your RB2 is your RB1.
For me, Todd Gurley is just one of those players that if I am forced to play in a snake draft league, which I just cannot stand, I'm auction all the way. But if it is my turn and he is like one of the next guys up in the queue, I'm just going to freak out. I just don't want to be in a position where I have to make a decision on him, because his you can lose your draft in the first two or three rounds. Or rather, you can lose your league. You know, last year I had the terrible misfortune of advising my significant other to start things off with Le'Veon Bell, Alex Nailed Collins, it. And Rex Nailed Burkhead.
It. Oh, and it, what an extraordinary! Is she still with you?
She is. needless to say, she finished last. But you can lose your league in the first couple of rounds. I think you want to try to hit the home run players, but also stability is really important, and Todd Gurley does not provide that. If we have some sort of indication that he's a 15 plus touch player, that changes, but I don't think that we will.
But I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is like, we've had, I know they're saying a lot of things about him not being a 15 touch player or whatever the kind of cap limit would be, but we've never seen him not to be that. And so are we really expecting him to suddenly become this like moderated commodity, as opposed to just being like, well, we all say these things, but really Todd Gurley is going to be Todd Gurley. We're going to let Todd Gurley be Todd Gurley.
Yeah, this is all irresponsible, reckless speculation, which is right up my alley, and I love it.
Yes.
Todd Gurley was one of the players that I wanted to talk about because I think he is the perfect definition of an intriguing player. You have people like Nick who are, we will find out, either, you know, too scared or absolutely appropriately scared. Todd Gurley is a potential league winner who's going in the middle of the second round, and we have no idea, and will have no idea. We will get no clarity on this. It will just be more speculation from beat reporters watching him walk around in practice, because the Rams do not play people in games that don't matter. Todd Gurley was, you know, as far as we know, perfectly healthy last year during the preseason and didn't take a snap. I would expect the same this year, whether they're concerned about his injury or not. So I think that Todd Gurley's price is now right. The middle of the second round is worth it. And we can talk strategy in the offseason. You can lose your fantasy draft in lots of, or your fantasy league in lots of different ways. I like taking chances. I wouldn't take Todd Gurley third, but 16th, 18th, where he's going now, yeah, man, you know, that's a potential league winner too.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'd rather have him than James Conner, who's going RB9 at the back end of the first round. Like, if I can get David Johnson at the end of the first snake to Todd Gurley, whoo, I just won your league.
But that's a good comp. James Conner has a lot more perceived safety, and right, you know, in 4 months we'll know how smart or stupid we all sound with this. But that's who you're choosing against when you pick Todd Gurley there. It's a really interesting topic for the offseason.
I would much prefer James Conner. And a side note: if I could get David Johnson in the back end of any first round, that's phenomenal.
I mean, no, let's go ahead. You're wrong, Nick. You're wrong. David Johnson, is a terrible player. We all hate him on this podcast.
Gotcha, right. but the only thing that I want to say about Todd Gurley, this is the last thing I'll add. I do think that we have more of an indication than is perceived. At the end of the year last year during the playoffs, he was fully cleared to play medically. The medical staff said, this is as good as his knee is going to be. This is the new normal. It's the coach's decision whether or not they want to put him out there, and they chose not to. And I think that that is telling. I think that we can draw information from that by saying Todd Gurley's knee is not getting better. The arthritis is going to affect him. And what the coaching staff showed us last year is that if he is in too much pain in a given week, they're going to pull him.
Yeah. So that is just for fair and balanced reporting, that is still you trying to read the tea leaves. The guy could have been hurt and just didn't play, and guys get hurt all the time and come back. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but you are taking that a running back suited up and didn't play, and then supposing, which is understandable and makes perfect sense, that is informing your decision that you feel Gurley is too risky. I feel like you're trying to read the tea leaves, just like I am trying to read the tea leaves of running backs hurt their knees. Unless your name's David Johnson, I can't even remember what he hurt when he missed.
Not his knees, though.
So it's we're both guessing, and we're both taking, guesses based on snippets, reporting what happened, 8-9 months ago. And my guess, I do not think is any better than yours, Nick. I've said this before. I feel like a lot of the times your analysis is better than mine. So you may be hitting the nail on the head. But I do think right now Todd Gurley is a Rorschach test of how you feel about reporting. If you feel it's all bupkis, well, then you don't care. And if you feel that you can tease things out of that, which I feel is certainly true sometimes, well, then you can push your thinking one way or the other.
So. Nicholas, who's another intriguing player for you in fantasy?
Let's see here. I'm going to, for the second one, I'm going to go with Devin Singletary. LeSean McCoy is falling off a cliff pretty quickly with his one ability to stay healthy, but two, just his burst. And what he had going for him in his prime was short area quickness. It's why his Twitter handle is cut on dime 25 or whatever. He can change direction and he can take a couple steps and be in a totally different location. When he now that he is older, he's losing that ability, and the fact that his hamstrings keep going, those soft tissue injuries don't really go away season to season when they become clear that they are an issue. I think that LeSean McCoy is on his way out, and I know that there are folks who like to draw the comparison between Singletary and McCoy as being similar players athletically. They're really not. They look a similar frame, but other than that, Singletary, I do think that he is slow. I think that he's a little bit on the small side, but going back to what I was saying with David Montgomery, what I think we're looking at is a guy who might be in line for a full workload, a close to 20 touch per game workload. And that kind of a thing can't be ignored. And I know that I just said, I don't think that he's like that great of a player, but when someone gets that much work, they're going to produce. And given the fact that he's currently being selected as the running back 53, I would love to put that guy on my team. And I know that that TJ Yeldon is on the team. I think Yeldon has shown us that he is a capable pass blocker and pass catcher, but he isn't very good. He's just not that great of a player, and I would prefer the running back that this front office just chose to draft and who does have a complete skill set. He obviously will have to adjust to the talent level, but he is a guy who can pass catch, pass protect, and carry the football.
Yeah, I think the only question you have to ask there is anyone going to be worth owning in Buffalo? But like you said, you don't have to be a fantastic player if you're going to get volume. And I think, this is another situation where you're taking a shot on someone who may take over a young player who's just drafted, who may take over the backfield. And I think those are great shots to take. And like you said, he's going super late. So it's not like there's not a great opportunity cost there. It'll be really interesting to see what running backs go into the season on the Bills roster with all the guys they've signed. So really interesting situation.
Clark, there's no one on the Bills that you would draft to your fantasy team. Not even a certain Jean Brown.
No.
Wow. Josh Allen, it's falling hard. Taking a big old hit.
Yeah. I just
Do you have you thought of a guy yet, Clark, who you're intrigued by?
I've got three.
Oh, well, why don't you throw one at us?
So we'll change tact a little bit. Everybody knows that Travis Kelce and George Kittle's are gods amongst men at the tight end position. But I think somebody who's being forgotten and who I've drafted in the wait for it, everybody wants to hear about your Scott Fish Bowl team, who I drafted in the Scott Fish Bowl, is Hunter Henry. Last year, I and lots of other people were extremely excited about. Yeah. Okay, this is the Hunter Henry podcast. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers get along beautifully for years, and Hunter Henry was set to just slide into that role until he tore his ACL I believe before the preseason even started.
At least in practice.
Yeah, they brought back Antonio Gates, who I'm contractually obliged to not disparage. But Hunter Henry, there was some talk about him possibly coming back during the playoffs. Now, that could have just been all, you know, BS, and we don't know. But he's had a full year off for knee recovery, or for his ACL surgery recovery. And we've seen a lot of guys come back from that. Now, I'm not willing to bet on that just because we've seen it happen in the past that it's going to happen again. But Hunter Henry, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, is going at the end of the fifth round. So I think getting a potential top three tight end, which is the only thing worth drafting. I think it's so funny when people say like, oh, he was top eight tight end last year. Yeah, like 90 guys were like 10 points apart from like tight end 5 to tight end 600 last year. So unless you're getting somebody truly great, then it doesn't matter. And I think Hunter Henry is one of the guys that has a chance to break into that category of, you know, maybe only like 700-800 yards, but maybe 10-11 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the three guys or 3 to 4 guys who I see most likely following Kelce and Kittle in some order are Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry, OJ Howard, and Evan Ingram. And I think you're right. Any of those guys there are an interesting, intriguing guys to watch because it's going to dictate how that tight end position plays out. Because I think all four guys have stories that you can get behind and reasons why you can draft them. And it's just going to be a matter of which of those stories actually pans out, who actually clicks. And Hunter Henry has had so much hype and so much excitement towards him in the past that it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he actually lives up to that, or if, if he's able to thrive, or if, you know, Mike Williams, who people like, sometimes he's going to take your red zone targets. Is that going to be a problem? But Hunter Henry was like the next tight end to do it, and everyone, and then George Kittle and Travis Kelce took over. So we'll see if he can cement himself as a top three guy.
So I really like Hunter Henry. I think for me personally, he's going a little bit too high. I prefer to just wait on tight ends unless one of the like Kelce or Kittle or Ertz fall. I'd rather wait and just take shots on, like TJ Hockenson or Chris Herndon committee kind of a thing. But I do agree with the assessment that Hunter Henry has a very real possibility of potentially leading tight ends in touchdown scoring. So if tight end selecting is your flavor around the fifth round, that's a great pick. I think that guys like Evan Ingram, and Jared Cook, who may go off the board before him, I think that he's a lot better than they are, and potentially even OJ Howard. I'm totally off the Evan Ingram hype train. I don't trust anything from Eli Manning, but I think Henry is poised to have a very big year and should be fully recovered from his ACL.
Yeah, I want to hit on one thing really quickly, Nick. I agree with you completely. In that, I think there are four tight ends worth drafting with Ertz, Kittle, Kelce, and Hunter Henry. And I think Hunter Henry is the last one that's worth spending anything on. If you if you don't draft him, then don't worry about it. Just pick up, take some shots late. Like you mentioned, Chris Herndon, he's going to be suspended for a couple of games. I think people are way overvaluing that. We've got Jack Doyle going late. You know, there are a lot of guys who are good enough at tight end to where you don't need to spend that middle round capital on them. If you miss, you know, that'll be my strategy for this year.
Nice. Cool. All right. My guy who I'm also very intrigued by is Amari Cooper, because I think Amari Cooper falls into that range of a wide receiver who is just at the tail end of kind of like those first 10 guys. He's currently wide receiver 13, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he was a wide receiver 5 this year.
He's the guy that when you pick him and you squint just right, you like your roster. But if you look at it in a bad mood, you're like, oh no, I don't like that.
You look at it, you're like, oh, is that Amari Cooper? Is that Julio Jones? Oh, it's definitely Julio Cooper. If you take his time in Dallas last year and project it across 16 games, he would have finished with 135 targets, 94 receptions, 1,289 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Now, who knows if that would, you know, if his what he produced while in Dallas would continue for a full season. But I think that you have no one really in that offense. It's going to be Amari in the Dak show with Ezekiel Elliott running the football. And so it's how much faith you have in Dak and being able to kind of produce a top five wide receiver. But of all the guys who kind of are in the, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, and Amari Cooper, that is currently wide receiver 6 through wide receiver 13. Like, I would take Amari Cooper over Adam Thielen. I would take Amari Cooper over T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans, maybe Antonio Brown, almost certainly, like, and definitely Juju Smith-Schuster. I just think that Cooper has the chance of being that teen player who you pick, you know, going in the third round, back end of the third round, who could rock it up and being a top five, maybe top eight wide receiver. So I think he is the biggest, the most potential in that, like, top 15 wide receivers to take the biggest leap.
So I'm a well-noted Amari Cooper doubter, and a lot of my friends just stop listening after I start talking about him. The issue that I've always had, well, one is his vertical. He can't really jump, and I think that's difficult in the end zone. Two, it's his usage. The guy is an elite slot receiver, and when he gets moved in there, he dominates in a way that a lot of other receivers don't. I think he, like, leads the NFL in yards per target when he's in there, or yards per route run. Like, he just smashes defenses when he's in the slot. I think my 2019 outlook on Amari Cooper is going to be entirely based on whether or not the Dallas Cowboys go out and give another advisory contract to Warren Sharp. Because last year, when they did, Sharp sort of hinted at it on one of his podcasts that they had hired an analyst, and Evan Silva kind of laughed and was like, oh yeah, who's that? That offense completely changed. They were throwing to Zeke on first down. They were taking deep shots, and Amari Cooper's stats shot the hell up. It was around, I think, week 9 when it happened. And then they let Sharp go during the playoffs, and they went back to ground and pound football, and Amari Cooper didn't have quite the impact that he had before. So if they give us some sort of indication that either they're going back to Sharp, or they are revamping their analytics department and are going to be down to use him in ways that that accentuate his strengths, I am fully on board with Amari Cooper as a league dominating wide receiver 1. If not, I'm going to be really scared that it's going to be the Zeke Elliott 3 yards in a pile of dust show.
I think there are a ton of unknowns in Dallas with Kellen Moore coming in as the offensive coordinator. You may remember Kellen Moore from Boise State fame, had a cup of coffee in the NFL. He's, according to Wikipedia, 29. Is that what? That can't be right.
Kellen Moore is 29 and, like, out of the league.
Good Lord. Okay. So Kellen Moore is going to be the offensive coordinator. I know with the Cowboys that it's always a bit of an odd structure of, like, how much authority does the coach have? How much authority does whatever coordinator have? But it's at least exciting, I think, to have a wide receiver who's as athletic as Amari Cooper playing on the field with Zeke, who teams have to focus on. And I think that's why we had a lot of success at the end of the year with the Cowboys, is because teams were used to just concentrating on Zeke Elliott. And then Dak Prescott learned, you know, if I throw to this gazelle wide receiver we have on the outside, well, then we can actually score some points instead of trying to win 13-10 all the time. So big question mark. And he's going you know, I think he's going appropriately after guys that you have a lot more confidence in. And he is a huge swing for the fences pick there, who may be great or may just be maddeningly frustrating. Because even when he did well last year, it was very up and down. So
that's fair.
He's good. We'll see. You know, Dak takes another step forward, man, it can be fireworks in Dallas.
Plus, you know, Kellen Moore is going to be highly successful as the offensive coordinator there, because any young coach who comes in, I mean, it's the Sean McVay syndrome, right? Any young player or any young coach you throw in there is instantly going to be change the game. Cliff Kingsbury is going to do it. So we know suddenly Dallas is going to have the most unstoppable offense in NFL history. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. Zeke is my number one overall. So I really want Amari Cooper to be good. So yeah,
he will be. Clark, don't worry. He'll be good. Who's another intriguing player for you, Clark?
This dovetails nicely. I think Dak Prescott is a very interesting player. So if you're going to wait on quarterback, which I think, you know, there's two or three guys that are worth drafting early, and then you wait, kind of the same strategy I have with tight end. Dak Prescott's going off the board at 11, or middle of the 11th round. Gives you a nice rushing threat. He played well with Amari Cooper last year, and we have a new coordinator coming into a system that should still have a very good offensive line and has some nice pieces. So I think Dak Prescott is a great, you know, let's take a shot at least let's take a shot on a later round quarterback. And if it doesn't work out, you can always just stream anyway. So I think he's right in that sweet spot with a lot of potential.
Yeah. We just talked about the Cowboys offense. So I don't think much more needs to be said, but I totally agree with you. He's in that spot where if I take him, I think he's going like in the 11th round. If I take him in the 11th or 12th round and he doesn't pan out, that's fine. I can stream quarterbacks and, you know, and do it from there. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah. He's going as the QB 17, according to the Fantasy Pros rankings. Something I forgot to mention was Warren Sharp's strength of schedule rankings are out, and he's got the Cowboys as facing one of the easiest pass defense schedules for 2019. So I like it.
Perfect.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Nicholas, who's another intriguing guy for you?
So for me, it is Miles Sanders' hamstring. Reports came out that he's battling a hamstring injury. He missed OTAs. We see oftentimes hamstrings in camp are bad, and they tend to linger throughout the year because guys don't have the like multi weeks to just sit and rest it. Now, if they do choose to do that, then that means that they're missing reps, and he can study the playbook all that he wants, but it's, you know, live action is the best way, to learn. If he's able to get out there through preseason and have no issues, then I expect him to take over as their bell cow. And I know that they're saying that Jordan Howard is working on his pass catching, which has been the Chicago Bears line on him every year that he's been in the league. Miles Sanders is a do-it-all type running back. And I do think that that offense wants to, there have been comments made from the front office saying that they would prefer to just have one guy out there who can do it all, so they don't continue to tip their hand for what's coming to the defense. So anyway, if Sanders can get healthy, that's great. I do think though that it's tough because he's a rookie and he needs to get out there and learn this playbook, you know, wearing pads. So if he's able to do that, then Miles Sanders going running back 32, I think that's a killer deal for a guy, again, who could be a stud running back and featured in the Philadelphia offense.
And it's an offense that we've seen running backs have a lot of production in. You know, we've seen multiple running backs have production in it, enough that you have them, that you roster them. So yeah, if he can take over that starting role entirely, then that's a very intriguing option. You like your rookie running backs, don't you, Nicholas?
Yeah, that's kind of just part of my draft style is to try to, I'm so bad at snake drafts. And the reason is I overthink the early rounds, I'm more intrigued by trying to sniff out the late round guys and trying to sort of make my money there. I you can score a whole lot of points with running backs who other people aren't banking on. And so that's what I like to try to do.
Yeah. You got to do a quick little crossover here. You got to do a Joe Gentile draft, who's one of the guys, our staff guys at Fake Teams who do the baseball stuff. He, for the Fake Teams and Friends baseball fantasy league, he drafted just sleepers. And evidently he's doing pretty well. So maybe that's what you need to do, Nick, for the RB1 fantasy league, is you need to just draft rookies. Just draft rookie sleepers and just see how that team does. It's going to be great until they all get benched.
By the third week of preseason.
If it works out, you might have a shot at second place this year.
Clark coming in hot. Clarkson, he's a soon-to-be married man, so he's throwing out his shots.
Yeah, you'll like this. I wanted to make sure that the wedding did not interfere with fantasy football. So I was like, well, you know, the summer's really nice in Washington. Let's try to get it in before the kids go back to school, you know, before like August 15th or so.
You know, just before drafts and preseason starts. But, right. You know, no particular time. Clark, do you have your final intriguing player for this season?
I do, and I think it's somebody, again, who's being a little bit overlooked, and that's Latavius Murray, who I think that we've overlooked for his entire career. He's not the most interesting player, and I understand why people aren't that excited about him. He had a 198-yard rushing touchdown on Thursday Night Football like 4 years ago, and I think that that's probably the only thing people saw him do. But he's fine. He's fine as a running back, and he's going to play second fiddle for the New Orleans Saints, who score more running back touchdowns than anyone else in the league year in and year out. Latavius Murray's going in the seventh, and he should be your absolute zero RB target, your absolute late round kind of backup starter flex target for this year. Because I love Alvin Kamara, but there's so much to go around in that Saints offense that you should not forget to pick up Latavius Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've seen Mark Ingram, we've seen the Saints offense produce two viable fantasy backs, and so why can't Latavius Murray do that? I like it.
Yeah, he's managed to, I think it was lead the league in carries within the 5 yard line, and that's bouncing from more like, you know, two or three different teams over the last five years. So that's, he is talented close to the goal line, and I would expect Sean Payton to be able to identify a player's strengths.
Yeah. I think he's a lot like Singletary. Like, he's good enough in a good offense.
My last guy who is intriguing, I was going to talk about Cam Newton, but I feel like I touched on him early when we talked about players who will bounce back and players who will step back. So instead, Nick mentioned this as someone who he was going to talk about, and I was like, oh, I won't talk about him then. But then Nick didn't talk about him, so now I'm talking about him. I am fascinated with Will Fuller, because Will Fuller, if he is healthy, can be just a freaking stud with Deshaun Watson. I mean, we have seen it in the games that he's been healthy and able to play. He's posted just ridiculous yards outputs and touchdowns and targets and the whole nine yards. And I just would love to see, if that can happen, if he can stay healthy for a full year, and what that looks like, what him and Watson look like together when Will Fuller can stay on the field. And he's going wide receiver 31 right now in the middle of the seventh round. And I don't know if I would pull the trigger on him there, but just because the injuries are terrifying to me. And I don't know if I can look past those, but I'm just so freaking curious about what he's going to do this year and how he's going to perform.
Well, if it's not surprising, I like to build my team with strong running backs. And then if you can give me a handful of boomer bust wide receivers to plug and play via matchups, I'll take it. Wide receiver 32 for a guy who can finish as the wide receiver one on any given week. Like, that's literally his ceiling. I love it.
You guys are just making my day. It's the resident fan. I want all of this to happen. The Texans are doing a really good job building their offense, except for that pesky offensive line. So as long as that doesn't come back to haunt them, they've got tons of talent.
I've never heard I've never heard that that's an important thing to have on a football team.
I feel like you can get by without it.
Totally. Yeah.
But I mean, so we have the gravitational pull that is Deshaun Watson. Nope, that's not right. That is DeAndre Hopkins. And then in the 3.5 games where Kiki Kude was healthy last year, he showed that he could be an outstanding slot wide receiver. So Will Fuller being healthy and just the Texans getting any kind of even decent step forward from their offensive line could mean huge things for the Texans. And Will Fuller, just that amazing boomer bust. Like, he might get you like 10 yards one game, but he could get 2 touchdowns and 140 yards the next game too.
And the thing is with him too, is that his like kind of poor performances or worse or lesser games, like at least last year, and I'm quickly bringing up stats and information, is working extra time to try to get these numbers in front of me in time so that I can stop, kind of lollygagging and just kind of rambling in order to, oh, they're in front of me right now. Thank you. He had 2 games where he last season where he had a 15 yards and a 33 yards. Everything else was above 50 yards. He had 3 100 plus yard games, all with touchdowns. Like, he is just such a fascinating player because, god damn, he's fun to watch with Deshaun Watson. And so it's not only just like a, Clark, you talk about this a lot, where it's like, it's fantasy football. Like, enjoy the team that you've constructed and enjoy the players on your team. That's why LeSean McCoy will never be on my roster. Will Fuller is someone who I could just get behind. Just watching those bombs and just watching that happen once or twice a game is just would be so exciting. And if he's able to stay healthy, man, he could destroy fantasy this year. He could finally be the top 10, top 5 fantasy receiver that he's flirted with. Well, since we've covered our 9 most intriguing players, and that's it. There are no other players here in the whole NFL that are intriguing. Those are the 9 most intriguing players in fantasy this year. We got to make sure we can send Nicholas along to his business meeting so that he can, rise the ranks, buy a TV station, turn us into a show, all that jazz. So make sure to subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast channel on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher and on, I believe we're on Spotify. Who knows? Wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark and Nick at Ginger_ Nick without a K. We will be back at you guys next week. Hopefully Jordan, the working girl, will be able to join us. We have a fun ADP game plan for that. But until then, peace!